The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I will say Major League Baseball does a better job of dragging out their awards season
yes, they do.
Than any other sport. Let's just drip them out maybe one a day or one every other day until, you know, we've pretty much eaten up half of the offseason. Next week are the big ones. Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, MVP, Manager of the Year. We talked yesterday. Jackson Merrill up for Rookie of the Year. Mike Schilt up for Manager of the Year in the National League.
Yeah, of course.
Yesterday, though, they dropped the annual Silver Slugger Awards in both leagues. Are given to the top offensive player at each position on the diamond, plus a designated hitter. And the Padres matched a franchise high with three Silver Slugger Award winners yesterday. Two first-timers, Jackson Merrill. Once again, now he's already got one in his trophy case to start his career. And Jurickson Profar, which I thought just a terrific story. 10 years, obviously, in the big leagues. Most of that spent as a journeyman who never quite lived up to the potential that he had as a top prospect in baseball. But coming into his own last season and really, I mean, carrying the Padres for a good part of the 2024 season.
The first half, Jurickson was so elite and electric, and 100%. Very, very well deserved. Saw a nice little interview he did with MLB Network, had Kyrie standing right behind him. Very, very cool moment. And, of course, for Jackson, holy crap, man. First year in the league, finalist for the Rookie of the Year, and then you throw that, which, by the way, the Silver Slugger Award's awesome. It's awesome. Like, it's as far as an aesthetically pleasing award. Yeah, I want that.
Trophy room.
That will do, right? A couple of silver sluggers hanging over your mantle look pretty cool. And our beloved Manny Machado picked up another.
So the name Manny Machado winning a silver slugger does not seem all that surprising. However, if you had gone back to like May,
right,
and looked at what Manny Machado's numbers were, you would have thought, well, there's no chance that this would be a year that he could win a Silver Slugger Award. And it's just a testament to Manny's consistency and, you know, constant effort that he pulled himself out of that slow start, fueled obviously by the elbow surgery, and ended up with some really good numbers at the end of the season. What, 29 homers, 105 runs batted in, hit .275. As he always says, you know, the back of the baseball card doesn't lie for Manny Machado.
It's crazy, man.
I don't know that that's true for every player, but no. For Manny, it really does seem to be true. He will his way to his numbers at the end of the year.
He had like a week to get 30, and I was like, it was like panda watch for me. I wanted him to get that 30. I know he wanted it too. He got close a couple times, but yeah, man, ended up, you know, I was looking at his numbers yesterday. Would it surprise you guys at all to know that he played in 152 games last year? I mean, it's just, that's what he does. He's going to be on the field. 152 games, fresh off of surgery. So yeah, he does what he does. He's super consistent, and he keeps that up the next few years, man. He's Cooperstown bound. There's been very few players as consistent as he is.
It did.
Pick a stat.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just go through it, and it's like...
Yes.
RBIs, 105, 91, 102, 106, and then the COVID year. Home runs, 29, 30, 32, 28. Like, he's right...
It's like...
Whatever his range is, Johnny he's right the spot, there man. Every single
every
year.
Single
games played, 152,
year.
138, 150, 153.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's just crazy.
Like, you and can I just pencil it in, 150 games, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs.
I argue every year. I have to still defend this. I still have to defend this. It makes no sense to me.
It did surprise me to learn that that was just the second Silver Slugger of Manny Machado's career. But part of that is Manny's numbers are so consistent, but he plays at a fairly premier offensive position at third base, and someone always has...
35
just that monster
bombs,
year,
yeah, 40,
37,
yep.
30, you know, whether it's Arenado or someone always seems to beat him out, you know, for that Silver Slugger Award at the end. But congratulations to Manny Machado.
Yeah, I'm stoked for all those guys.
Picking up that second Silver Slugger Award. Also had a move yesterday in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about. Before we do that, I do want to give out the phone numbers for Take on Woods. I love someone to qualify for our trip to Las Vegas. Again, it's a musical trivia challenge against a very knowledgeable musical trivia expert. So
please call in if you think you know music.
If you're going to call in, you know, if you've heard it before, this is your chance. 833-288-0973. If you're just hoping to get lucky and win a prize, it's probably not going to go that well for you. So
we've got some reptile tickets for you later.
We do. We can give you some tickets to the Reptile Expo in Del Mar later in the show. But if you want to win the trip to Las Vegas, better come strong against Stephen Woods. Call now, 833-288-0973. We'll play in a couple minutes. So the Angels, who have been one of the more active teams early in the offseason, signed catcher Travis d'Arnaud, free agent from the Atlanta Braves, to a two-year, $12 million deal. Not a earth-shattering move that's going to change markets, but interesting in that, first of all, d'Arnaud's option was declined by the Braves. I think he was set to make $8 million, so he takes a couple of million less with the Angels, but gets two seasons, so a little security for Travis d'Arnaud. It's also a name off the board at what might be the weakest position in free agency this offseason. And I mentioned Jeff Passan writing about some of the different, you know, free agents that are out there. And he was very clear. I mean, the options at catching are thin. And the Padres need a catcher this offseason. And that's going to be an issue. If they have to sign one through free agency, basically the best name available on the market is one Kyle Higashioka.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, he's got power, doesn't get on base very much, but that's pretty much the premier name on the market, even more than Travis d'Arnaud, who was an all-star in the past but was not coming off a very good season. I have no idea what that means for Kyle Higashioka's leverage in negotiations, but I would think it's probably a good thing because the Padres aren't the only team that'll be looking to sign a catcher. And the first call is probably going to go out to Kyle Higashioka, which makes it that much harder for the Padres to bring him back. And if they don't bring him back, I'm not sure where the Padres turn in that catching market.
That's a good question. You know, obviously Campusano's still here. He's going to probably get another opportunity, but you know, it does kind of give you the idea that retaining Higgy and bringing him back here where he was very happy. And if it's a deal, you know, a little bit over that, I think everybody can live with that. But yeah, you're right. It's fairly weak, Benny, as far as who's out there remaining. And d'Arnaud, it's interesting too, because
Jansen.
Oh, okay.
It's good against left-handed pitching. Carson Kelly and Yasmani Grandal are the other free agent catchers.
Pretty lean.
Besides Kyle Higashioka.
Trade for one, but, you know, again, Luis Campusano fixes a lot of problems if he could get it together. But, how many chances? How many chances do you give Campy? You're going to have to give him another one because he's still under the control and he's affordable. But d'Arnaud's interesting because they have Logan Ohapi in Anaheim, and he's a really, really good catcher, but he's not even 25 yet. And what a great mentor for him. What a great, you know, guy to spell him when he needs it and to help him learn what it is to be a really, really productive big leaguer. You know, d'Arnaud was a 9-WAR player when he was in Atlanta in the time he was there and hit some huge home runs for them in the postseason. So it's a loss for Atlanta. But, you know, to make a little bit of extra money and probably finish out his career in Anaheim, not a bad deal.
And I understand that A.J. Preller has had a knack for finding backup catcher types the last few seasons. They've somehow just magically appeared. Sanchez, whether it's Gary Sanchez, whether it's Jorge Alfaro, whether it was Kyle Higashioka, as you know, the last bit of the Juan Soto trade. He's found a catcher somewhere every year. Gonna have to do it again. And it may require paying Kyle Higashioka, or it may require some creativity, because even if you have Luis Camposano, and even if Luis Camposano has a breakout season, not gonna catch more than 110 games. You still need someone to catch 50 to 60 games for you next year. And, you know, I guess it could be Brett Sullivan, or you could reach into your minor leagues. But right now, you know, Elias Diaz is gone too. So options are thin.
He's gone. Free agent. Yeah.
He's a free agent as well. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Catching position. Just interesting that move was one of the early ones at one of the weakest positions.
I wonder if he signed too early then.
You know,
well, I mean, if there's only four of us out here, like, I don't want to be the first guy to drop.
I guarantee you Kyle Higashioka's agent was happy to see Travis d'Arnaud sign pretty quickly, because it just puts more pressure on the rest of teams that need catchers to up their offer potentially for a guy like him.
Yeah, Gus just said, don't the Angels have Ohapi? Yeah, I just mentioned he's going to be 25 in February and is a young catcher, but he's one of their best players, if not their best player. But to have Travis d'Arnaud there to spell him or DH, you know, every now and then if they need it, should be in decent shape.
All right, speaking of good players, I see we've got a good player on the line for Take on Woods. Let's get to today's game. Yeah.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. I think I was just like telepathically reaching out to Guy, knowing we needed a good contestant. Guy, always one of our better challengers. He's ready to go here for November. Hello, Guy.
Hey, good morning.
All right.
All you had to say was Las Vegas, and I was there.
Let's get you qualified. This month's prize is a two-night getaway at the Westgate, Las Vegas, two tickets to Soul of Motown, and a $150 food and beverage credit. Again, you can check out the Westgate's $70 million in room renovations, the award-winning Soul of Motown show, high-energy musical celebrating Motown legends, must-see show. You can get your tickets at WestgateResorts.com. All right, here are your categories, Guy. Locking down the save. Those are five song titles that begin with the word save. Get into the rhythm. Those are five song titles and artists, including the word rhythm. And our new category is called a cromulent category. Five hit songs with made-up words in the title. Locking down the save, get into the rhythm, or a cromulent category. Guy, what would you like to play?
Let's lock down the save.
Locking down the save. Okay, again, five song titles. They all begin with the word save. You'll have 60 seconds. You can always pass, and we come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is the two-second song. Paulie's queuing it up now. You need to give me that song title and the artist. You go first. Woods goes second. If you beat or tie him, you're in the drawing for Las Vegas. You know how it works, Guy. Are you ready to play?
Sure. Yes, do it.
All right. Paulie, you good?
I'm ready.
Right. 60 seconds on the clock. The category is locking down the save. Guy, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Duran, save it for the save a prayer.
Correct. Save a prayer. You got it. Which 1997 debut single was the biggest hit for Swedish musician Eagle Eye Cherry?
I can hear it, but I don't know. Save the night.
Oh, incorrect. The Weeknd sings "To Do This for Another Day" in which best-selling global single of 2021? Benny King sings lead for the Drifters in which 1960 classic that includes the line "Don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be"?
How I know him is
Which 2004 country hit from Big and Rich is subtitled "Ride a Cowboy"?
Save a Horse.
Correct. We got the two over there at the end. The country one might save you. Save a Prayer by Duran Duran, and you got Save a Horse. It's Save Tonight, not Save the Night.
So close.
So close. By Eagle Eye Cherry. Save Your Tears is The Weeknd, and Save the Last Dance for Me by The Drifters. So Let's see what two does for you today, Guy. We got some tough categories this week, no doubt about that.
Fell asleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Relaxed.
Been up for 6 hours.
Why would you get up at 1:30?
I didn't have a choice. Just woke up.
All right, 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Guy.
Oh, Save a Prayer, Duran Duran.
Correct. Which 1997 debut single was the biggest hit for Swedish musician Eagle Eye Cherry?
Safe Tonight.
Correct. The Weeknd sings To Do This for Another Day in which best-selling global single of 2021?
Pass.
Ben E. King sings lead for The Drifters in which 1960 classic that includes the line, "Don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be."
Drifters. Pass.
Which 2004 country hit from Big and Rich is subtitled Ride a Cowboy?
Save a Horse.
Correct. The Weeknd sings To Do This for Another Day in which best-selling global single of 2021?
Banger.
It's going to make me insane.
You know, I think both of them here.
All right, go, what's next?
Benny King sings lead for The Drifters in which 1960 classic that includes the line, "Don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be." So, Darling.
Save the Last Dance for
Me. Save the Last Dance for Me. If I just said So, Darling.
Save the Last Taint for Me.
3-2, though. You snuck it out over Guy today.
Man.
And then The Weeknd's Save Your Tears for Another Day.
I don't know if I know that one.
You do. You've heard it, at least. It was the best-selling global single of 2021. How could you miss the best-selling song of an entire year?
I like
think
the
that's
Weeknd.
Impossible. And you like The Weeknd.
I think I played it on my, it was on my playlist of the Ben and Woods Takeover that night.
That's not to be discussed.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Remember.
Shh. Guy?
What takeover?
Sorry. Thank you for calling in, though, and you can take another shot later in this month if you'd like.
That Eagle Eye Cherry song was terrible. Terrible, wasn't it?
Say tonight.
Fight the break of dawn. Come
tomorrow.
Terrible. I bet you loved it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Probably on Jock Jams
did
or
not,
something.
Did not. Not too bad.
So bad.
All right, Don't Do This is coming up next. I almost feel bad because this is a Hall of Fame coach and legend who made a absolute rookie mistake last night.
This was actually pretty unbelievable. It led to a phenomenal meme as well that will live forever.
It did.
Forever.
Don't Do This is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
We got a spicy Padres topic, money, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Before that, though, a little don't do this on a Wednesday morning. And Woods, I'll let you get us started.
Yeah, head football.
The personal hygiene story.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. And athletes, you know, it doesn't stop once you're no longer an athlete and maybe you're a head coach. But people have their weird little superstitions and their little peccadilloes, right? And Syracuse head football coach Fran Brown. Well, he's got an odd one. I'll let the audio speak for itself here.
So early this morning, I just be mad. I just brushed my teeth. But it's like, I don't deserve soap. I don't deserve to do all that. I'm just focused on like trying to get back and trying to make sure that our players mentally understand and know that I let them down, that they didn't do it. You know, I just wake up all night, especially when you lose. You like wake up like, damn, it really happened. You know, it really happened that way. So it's just different pieces. And then I just move on. There's a process that I follow every week, win, lose, or draw. Only thing is, like, my wife, I can't sleep in the bed if we lose because I ain't going to get in the shower for that day. I'm just mad, and I just sit there. I just brush my teeth. That's what I have to do so y'all won't say my breath stink. But I'm just kind of locked in at certain things, certain ways. I think you gotta earn the right to do certain things. So, you know, winners get washed.
Amazing. Yeah, he has actually said, when I lose, I don't deserve soap. Winners get washed. It's an unbelievable. It's an unbelievable saying.
Winners get washed.
Winners get washed.
Interesting.
So they lose.
I haven't heard that one before.
I haven't either, bro. I've heard, oh man, I got three hits with these socks on. I'm not washing them. Well, I assume
this was a superstition sort of thing.
Yeah.
Not a punishment.
Like, you don't self punishment. Yeah, he says, I don't deserve soap. I just will sit and brush my teeth forever because I don't want you to say my breath stinks.
Well, why don't you have that same philosophy, though, about
scrub
the rest
your body.
Of you?
Right. Yeah. It's incredible. Now, they're 6-3, so that means at least three times this year he's like, nope, not tonight.
I mean, my shower.
And imagine, you know, you're a head football coach, you're running up and down the sidelines. It's not like you're sitting in a booth, you know, counting stats. Like, right. You're moving. You're into it. So he gets home and his wife's like, oh, no, not sleeping in the bed tonight. My wife would be begging me to lose so that she could have the bed to herself. She'd be preying on my downfall and for losses.
She'd also have an unshowered woods. So.
I shower like twice a day. But if there's those days where I'm like, I come home, I like maybe play golf or something, and I'm like, and she's like, do not get into bed right now. Disgusting.
And while he's not a player, I'd imagine coaches get pretty hot and sweaty during the game.
Like 3 minutes. I just did the whole thing.
I just think so.
Like running up and down the sidelines.
I just said the whole thing.
I mean, if it's a night game and it's cool, it's probably okay, but
go ahead.
It's a day game.
You're up.
I think there's some differences.
You know, I think a coach is moving a lot up and down the sidelines and stuff.
But like,
football players also reek.
They reek.
Their gear. Everything smells so bad.
Smells,
and he's right in the middle
really
of the huddles on the sideline.
Hands on everybody.
He's grabbing.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
It's lacrosse players too. They,
just being around them.
When those dudes come in the box
hockey.
And seals game,
when
I'm like,
put
on the goalie gear.
Yeah, it did not smell good.
It's nasty.
Definitely did not smell good. All right, this one surprised me last night just because of who it was. The Detroit Pistons taking on the Miami Heat. Miami has a 2-point lead with 2 seconds left, but Detroit is inbounding the ball. And they just make a horrible defensive mistake, allowing for an alley-oop lob to tie the game. But that's just where the story starts. Paulie, do we have the play-by-play of what happened after that with Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat?
Durant dunks it! Oh my! Unbelievable! In 0.7 seconds, they tie the game at 121. The Pistons are walking off the court.
Oh,
who called timeout?
Oh no. The referee is saying that Coach Spo has called a timeout, and that's a technical foul as the Heat are out of timeouts.
Oh boy.
Oh boy is right.
The incredible execution by the Pistons.
No. That's
to get an uncontested
foul.
Dunk for Durant with 1.8 seconds left. Jalen Rose and the rest of us in disbelief. So a technical for taking a timeout they did not have.
So his team gives up the lead, and then Spoelstra is so flustered, essentially,
wow,
that he then tries to call a timeout to settle his team and set up a play forgetting.
You gave up the game-tying dunk.
That freaked him out.
And then the technical foul, it's a walk-off free throw.
Yeah, they make the free throws, and the game is over, and the Pistons win it. According to Spoelstra after the game, there's really no excuse for that. I'm 17 years in. We had talked about it in the huddle. I knew that we didn't have any. I just got emotional and reactive on that, and I just made a horrendous mistake there at the end. It's a shame.
That's fantastic. All right, guys. Now, so we have no timeouts, okay? So let's get this done. We have no timeouts.
Timeout.
Oh, it makes my stomach hurt. But it did lead to the... Paulie's got it up on the stream. Jalen Rose with the facial expression of the year. I mean, he looks like he opened the door to his house and some naked lady ran out. You know what I mean? Like, it's like... terrified. So good, dude. So good.
A little shake.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's fantastic.
That one's going to live on,
yeah,
for sure.
It's going to be around forever.
And, you know, Spo's won 2 NBA titles, Olympic gold medal.
Yeah,
he's going to go to the Hall of Fame as a coach. It really was an unbelievable mistake
that
for a guy like
incredible.
That. What are the odds Jalen Rose is there?
I know.
Yeah, it's true.
I know. Yeah.
The guy who was there with Chris Webber of timeout
they
infamy.
Say, yeah. Don't pull a Chris Webber.
Yeah.
It's called a Chris Webber. Don't call a timeout if you don't have one. Jalen Rose on that Michigan team.
It looks like he smelled a bad fart. That's exactly what he's like. He's like, ah! It's fantastic. All right, and then for doo-doo this today.
DD mega doo-doo.
Pretty simple, man. This is just one that makes me laugh, and it is Charles Barkley.
The don't do this is they're taking these guys away from us after this season.
Yeah, allegedly, right? I mean, as it stands right now, but they are talking about a basketball player, Ben, with an interesting last name. His last name is Dick. And
Grady, right?
Grady Dick.
Yeah.
And, well, they treat it like... I probably would.
Inside the NBA last night?
Yep.
Hey, this boy balling right here, y'all.
I think you pointed that out, Grady Dick. I can't say his name. I just can't say his name. I'm not going to say his name. I don't give a damn what y'all say around here.
Come on, man.
I'm not going to say that to another man.
It's his name.
I don't care what y'all say.
Just call him Grady.
His name is Grady.
Grady balling is still out of flavor.
Like we stepped back into middle school.
Grady balling.
Shaq almost didn't recover.
Poor Ernie.
When Shaq
Ernie's trying to plow on like I was.
Like, what is this, middle school?
Or back in middle school. Shaq, when he hits the...
And then
it's over.
And then he starts coughing.
He's the coughing.
Like, listen to the...
Yeah,
and then so the cough.
Man, I don't give a damn what y'all say around here. Come on, man. I'm not going to say that to another man. I don't care what y'all say.
Just call him Grady.
His name is Grady. I'm not going to say that man's name.
I can listen to it all day. I swear to God, dude. Those guys are... I would pay money to just go to a comedy club and just watch them talk. It's so good, man. They have such good chemistry, and they just know how to get each other, man. It lays me out every single time.
Chuck. What's his name? What's his name?
I ain't saying it. I can't say it. It's so good. Grady Dick.
Brandon says Grady Dick and Anthony Black did a jersey swap last year.
Just in.
It was the camera that was on them, and they're talking, and they're like, no, we can't do it.
Can't do it.
And the guy goes, all right, F it.
Didn't they
get
do
the
it?
Photographer over here.
Fantastic.
Let's do it.
Fantastic.
And that Fantastic is don't and do this for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so the Padres are already up against the luxury tax, but they have needs and holes. So how are they going to manage that, and what is reasonable for fans to expect from their baseball team this offseason?
I think that tweet spun a lot of people out yesterday.
Yeah, spicy question on payroll. Questions that have not been answered by the Padres front office yet. And we will talk about that when we come back next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. If you're waiting on the big announcement on how much the Padres are going to spend this offseason, I will reiterate, don't hold your breath. They still haven't told us last season how much they're going to spend. You have to wait and find out just based on what they actually do and the moves that they make in the offseason. So When I say we're going to talk about, you know, the Padres payroll and budget, realize we're never going to get a final answer to this question. But somewhere in the, you know, halls of Petco Park, there are discussions and there are decisions that will have to be made this offseason about how much they're willing to do and what they are willing to spend. And we're going to have some of those conversations here because, Woods, I think it dramatically changes the nature of the offseason, depending on what the powers that be at Petco Park decide, particularly this offseason, in what they are willing to do and what they are able to do going forward.
And, you know, we can talk about some of the potential ways that they can get creative as well. I mean, there are ways to get creative with what's out there right now.
All right, we will do that right after a check of traffic here with Kelly on 97.3 The Fan. So we started this discussion yesterday when we saw that tweet from JT Rogan about running into Blake Snell and Blake saying he'd love to pitch for the Padres, but AJ Preller told him, don't know if the Peter Seidlerless ownership group is committed to significant future spending. As I move forward, let's expand this discussion beyond Blake Snell. I would love to see Blake Snell come back, but he is just one of many options that the Padres can and should be considering this offseason. We have heard multiple times, Woods, that the Padres are looking to add pitching, and they are going to be exploring many different avenues, from Roky Sasaki to high-end options like Blake Snell. There are middle-of-the-road options. There are cheaper options on the market. There's a lot of different ways that the Padres could go, and it, I think, needs to be said that there are two different things that are true at the same time. Padres ownership deserves a lot of praise for the money that they've put into this organization, into this roster, and creating a team that we can be excited about and that has been competitive and has had a legitimate chance to win the World Series a couple of times in the last 3 years. It's also true that if they want to keep that going, they're going to have to continue to commit resources probably above and beyond what they're probably comfortable doing. It's just the reality, unfortunately, of baseball, that when you've got a roster and you've got areas of need, you can't fill it with nothing. There's every player requires money, and when you're already up against the luxury tax, your only choices are basically to take a big step back or to bite the bullet and go into territory that maybe the number counters, the number crunchers don't really want to see you go into. You know what I mean?
I do, and it's funny because I had just Googled how much money can the Padres spend, and it's funny, March 4th, 2024, Ben and Woods, there's a YouTube clip that says, do the Padres have any money to spend? And this is March 4th of this year, right? So this is kind of us figuring out back then. The answer has been, there is no answer, but the answer is clear. Does that make sense? You have to find a way to, and I know that momentum in baseball does not carry over season to season necessarily. That being said, you're going to lose some guys. You're going to need to replace not only those guys, but their production. That's not going to be able to be done on the cheap. I feel like you got pretty lucky with the moves that you made last year. That momentum also is not guaranteed to carry over. There is no crystal ball that AJ Preller can say, man, I literally hit on like 9 of 10 guys last year. That's going to happen again. There's nothing that says you will. Too many, you know, factors pop up. Injury, whatever. Payroll constraints. But I think when it comes to the fan base, the momentum is real. It's absolutely real. And may not go from player to player and season to season, but from the fan base, yeah, man, the momentum is absolutely real. People in this town salivate for Padres baseball. And you can't get that close last year feeling that, again, and we've seen all of, maybe it's psychological warfare, maybe it's not, but you got Kike Hernandez, Dave Roberts, Alex Vesia recently, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. Every single Dodgers, like, Padres were the best team we played. Padres were the best team we played. You took them on head-to-head in the regular season. You handled your business. You got to the playoffs. You hit the unluckiest, coldest streak you've hit all season long. You got to run it back. You got to figure out a way to run it back. If you're
pile
Eric,
on.
Yeah, if you're Eric Krupner and you're Eric Kinsenda, because you, one thing I can tell you about the Dodgers, they're gonna. And I know you can't be reactive and reactionary to everything they do because you can't keep up, man. You can't. It's like me trying to run with Usain Bolt. I can't do it. I'm going to run, but I'm going to continue to run and finish the race. But I cannot compete with that guy. But I can't take my foot off the gas, even a little bit. I got to continue to go for it. You're pot committed, man, to so many guys. Like, you made this decision years ago. You got to stay in the fight. You have to.
I think with expectations heading into 2023 being as low as they were after the offseason last year, with from everything, Peter passing away, trading Soto, slashing
it
payroll,
was dire.
All that, we all were on record, you know, 81 and 81, right in that range. You exceeded those expectations. You took two steps forward, I think, from 23 to 24. You cannot take a step back. And a step back would be not continuing to add to payroll and stay as competitive as you possibly can when you were this close this year.
Yeah.
I think the injury to Joe Musgrove changed the equation a bit going into this offseason as well. You can't count on a single inning from one of your key and, you know, more expensive starters next season. And there really is no easy way to replace him. Well, you talked about getting creative, and AJ Preller will always be creative, but let's say he's willing to trade Ethan Salas or Leo Dallas DeVries, which we don't know is true, but even if he was to pick up a guy like Garrett Crochet may be more affordable. He's not free, though. Garrett Crochet is still going to make a good chunk of change in arbitration
like
this year.
$3 million.
Yeah, but you're already at the... No, not $3 million. He's going to make 12.
I just saw
projected for only $3 million this
2.9,
year?
2.9, I think.
Wow. That seems low. I relook at that number again, but whatever the Padres add is going to push them above the luxury tax.
Spotrak got his estimate at 2.9.
Yeah, 2.9.
For this year?
That's what I saw.
And then, all right, well, that is very affordable. So that's
here's the problem with
Crochet. One way you can go. That ain't affordable, then we just shut it down.
He's projected. He's ARB eligible for both 25 and 26, projected to make 2.9 this coming season. The problem with Crochet is that when you get him, there's injury concerns, but it's 2024 in baseball, right? It's every single pitcher. He's going to want to be extended. And I was texting with some buddies about it, and they're like, yeah, what we don't want to see is the Josh Hader situation. Again, they managed his innings really well last year. But when you see him pitch and you go, I want a guy that strikes out 12.9 guys per nine. I want a guy, Ben, whose ERA goes down the third time, the batting average goes down the third time through the order. He gets better as the game goes on when he's allowed to pitch, you know, that much into it. He is a straight up ace when healthy.
And all right, if you did that and extended
him, extend
even if you
him.
Backloaded it, that's still going to count against this year's luxury tax.
Correct.
So you're going into the luxury tax. I think whether you want it or not.
I think you're going to have to, man.
I don't think they have a choice.
I really don't.
Yeah.
To add any pitching whatsoever.
Just to address the holes that are on the roster. Left field, catcher, you need another bat, and at least another starting pitcher. There's no way you can do that without hitting that luxury tax.
The only path forward that I could see them staying under the luxury tax would be essentially making no moves, hoping that you're still in it, you know, around the trade deadline, and then trying to add pieces for a stretch run.
Yeah.
That's a really risky way to go, to really undermine your team for the first 3.5 months of the season and then just cross your fingers that you don't have any more big injuries, you know, you don't lose any members of the starting rotation. The other factor here is obviously Roky Sasaki's a big deal. I think he could be a franchise-changing player, a generational talent, and he comes as affordable, I mean, virtually for nothing in terms of your major league roster. But you also have to woo him and convince him to come.
Right.
And it's not going to be a great selling point if all offseason you've done nothing to improve your roster and you're just saying, no, we've just been waiting on you to come and save us and, you know, jump in our starting rotation and be our big acquisition. If I'm trying to get you to join my team, I'm going to want to have an active offseason where I am improving the roster and showing, hey, we want to put a winner around you. We want you to be successful from the get-go when you come over to the United States. We don't want to put you in a bad situation. Don't Don't put him in the situation the Angels ended up putting Shohei Ohtani in by not putting the right players around him. Show him that you're ready to win now and that he can jump in. And even though he's not going to be making the big money, he'll be pitching on the biggest stages in October against the best players because you have enough around him. You need to show him that.
Yeah.
And I think the only way to do that is probably to go and spend a little beyond your means this offseason.
Yeah,
and then you reevaluate.
Yeah, and show them you've got a shot. You know, you've got a shot at winning a World Series in your first year and competing and all that. It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed the Dodgers are going to make it back. It's not guaranteed that the Mets are going to spend $400 million, get Juan Soto potentially, and then make the World Series. Obviously, we know enough about baseball that there's just no way to handicap it. There's just no freaking way. But the one way that helps you is you sign as many good players as you can. You trade for as many good players as you can. I see basically highlights of two players every day, and it's Leo and Salas. And, you know, with the occasional pitcher mixed in here or there, but it's DeVries and it's Salas. And the way I look at it, man, is Leo Dallas plays shortstop, and he's going to be your shortstop of the future. I'm hanging on to him. As far as Ethan Salas goes, I'd be willing to listen on Ethan Salas. I would. I mean, he didn't mash at high A. I realize he's a kid, man. He's 18 years old or whatever, but I'm willing to take that risk now to try to win a World Series in the next couple of years because, again, I don't like the term your window is closing because if you have a smart and creative GM, which we do, your window can always be open. But if you're waiting for Ethan Salas to help you win a World Series in the Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Yu Darvish era, that's not going to happen. It's just not.
There are a lot of pitchers available in free agency, but even the lesser ones aren't coming for free.
No, and they're not coming for cheap.
You know, I heard Gwynn and Chris talking about Mike Soroka yesterday,
yeah,
who was 0-10 with the Chicago White Sox, yeah, last season, and yet is expected to make a decent contract here, you know, based on what he did in the past, you know, with his rookie season with the Atlanta Braves, coming off injuries. There's enough there that there's going to be a team that's willing to give him a decent contract to come and be part of their starting rotation. That's a guy who was 0-10 last year, is not coming like cheaply in current major league contracts. So you're not just going to find a magic bullet for nothing.
Remember Eric Fetty, who was pitching in like Taiwan or something and got a big offer and ended up getting traded? But yeah, man, pitching is at a premium. It's just, yeah, so I mean, I'm looking, you know, people are like, I wouldn't trade Salas for anything. You know, he hit 206 at high A last year. I mean, again, his catching I've seen him work. I know he's an elite catcher. I know that. But is he going to help you win a World Series in this current iteration of this team? Probably not. It's going to be, by the time he makes the big leagues and is contributing, you know, our cornerstone guys are going to be.
Then again, we wouldn't have said Jackson Merrill was going to contribute to a team that had a chance to win the World Series last year.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson Merrill's 3 years older than this kid. You know, you want to wait three more years? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, and that's going to be that's going to be the one. You also have to have faith that AJ Preller can find another Ethan Salas because he's done it. He's done it before. So I have no connection to Ethan Salas other than the hype, and I've seen him catch and do drills, and it's really cool, and it's fun that he was playing, you know, in high A at 18 years old. But again, man, if I'm trying to win a World Series this year and I need to go out and get an arm, if they ask for him, I'm probably going to have to look at that, right? And because, again, you can't just money whip a bunch of players. You're not going to be after the Sotos. You're not going to be after the Burnses. You will have to get creative to get a Crochet. You will have to get creative if you wanted to get Blake Snell. God knows what you'd have to pay to get Blake Snell. But the bottom line is they need to do whatever it takes to keep the momentum going.
It just feels like it would be very hard to stay on a tight budget this offseason without taking a step back.
100%. And again,
and do you really want to take a step back now if you're the Padres?
And I liked your point, too, about, you know, rolling the dice and seeing what we have at the beginning of the season and then acting accordingly at the deadline. That's also an option, and it's certainly not one that's off the table. I mean, you have to look at that.
All right, we'll see what the Padres do decide on. And again, they won't tell us.
Is Colonel Budget dead now? Did we kill Colonel Budget?
He's not dead, but he's definitely willing to be a little more flexible than maybe in the past.
could be killing kernels on this radio
show. We'll
be
back. More Ben and Woods.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.